We were fortunate to find somebody who actually knew how to find developers, move a project along, because we had no idea. We're marketers. We can't code. We don't know what to look for in a developer. So we brought him on as an equity partner, and he built out a whole developer team. We spent 6 months making the products correctly, launched it. So it was like over 2 years from the time that the ListKit brand was born as a service until the SaaS went live. Went live in July of 2023 with zero fund, all bootstrapped. And then we've grown it over the past, it's almost been a year, 9 months. There's been a lot of bugs along the way, and we've rolled out a ton of new features, but it's been like a 3 year roadmap to go from idea to launch to where we're at now.
Cool, guys. So we got another episode of the Wantrepreneur Podcast here. I got Christian Bonnier from Client Ascension, KnowledgeX. Obviously, you can see the hat there, a little merch company as well. But yeah, so I'm super interested to talk to him about cold email in particular, but also just his entrepreneurial journey. Christian, we're mentoring young would-be entrepreneurs how to turn their sort of hustle porn grind mentality into an actual business. You've obviously done that on the scale of multiple businesses. So I guess for the audience, early stage entrepreneurs, you want to give like a quick background to yourself and so what you've been doing?
Yeah. My name's Christian. I'm from New York. I went to a state school in New York called Binghamton University. Yep. I was planning on being an accountant in college, or like during college, I was taking accounting classes, and I was like, I'm just going to be a New York City 9-to-5er. And that was my not dream, but that was my roadmap at the time. Okay. And then met my now business partner Andre and my other business partner Dan in college, and then during COVID just started a marketing business, failed at it for a year, finally figured it out, started making some money, and then 4 years later I'm here today with two businesses that are successful, I guess you could say. Obviously we want to do a lot more, but they're doing pretty well. So yeah, it's been a journey, and it's definitely not an overnight thing because it's taken a long time to get here, but that's
So rundown. Walk me through that. So what were you doing, like freelancing? What kind of marketing stuff were you doing when you were at Binghamton? Mm-hmm. And how did the COVID start?
Yeah, we were connected with somebody else in Binghamton who like worked with a lot of coaches to help them write a book. So we were offering like full stack, like course creation, podcast creation, book writing and publishing. Honestly, it was a good offer at the time, but we just didn't have client acquisition squared away at all, so we weren't signing any clients, and we were just bleeding money, and we're like, shit, this ain't gonna work because we're running Facebook ads to try to find clients, we're not signing anybody, we're gonna go broke. Then we discovered cold email one day, and that was the inflection point where shit started to work actually, because we learned cold email, it was really a lot easier back then, as I'm sure you know. So we were getting some good results for ourselves, started offering it to clients. We were booking calls. We're like, all right, this is a real business. And then we just scaled that up to 100K a month, launched a coaching program that teaches people cold email, scaled that way further than 100K a month because it's a lot more leveraged with your time and effort.
Were those like SaaS B2B clients or what was the type of?
Yeah, it was like email marketers, Facebook ads guys, like any
agencies and
that
stuff.
Worked with. Yeah.
Nice. Yep. Okay, cool. Nice. And how did you discover cold email? Like you just started sending emails one day, or like walk me through that a little bit.
No. So it's funny because a friend of ours, Nick Rogers, he's been in the business world for longer than us, and he's been on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, you guys should check this out. It's like a course on how to send cold emails. We didn't know what it was, but we took it. And that course was from Cold Email Wizard, who is now our business partner. So it's like full circle because we got into the game because of that course, did really well.
Nice.
We caught his attention. We partnered up on our coaching program and now our software. So learned it from him, partnered up with the same guy that we learned it from. And yeah, that's been the journey.
So you had a business partner on the agency. You weren't doing it like solo. You had
there was three of us. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. How did you find that? Would you say that's like something that you recommend, or how, what was your role compared to the other three people? Were you also pitching in same amount of effort and time?
Yeah, I'm like the creative copywriter, so I would handle all like the strategy and copy for our clients. I would do all of the front end copy to get clients. I would do the Twitter growth to find clients. And then my partner Dan does all the sales, and then Andre does all the operations and hiring. So it's like,
nice.
We all work together really well. I would recommend having a business. I don't know. It depends how your personality is. Obviously, it's a lot more lucrative to run it up on your own, but it's a lot harder and lonelier and harder to stay motivated when there's no one holding you accountable. Yeah. For me, I think it's more fun to have partners, but if you want to run it up on your own, I've seen plenty of guys do really well on their own. So it's like just a preference on how you want to operate.
Nice.
And I will say I'd rather be solo than be in more, like business with a business partner I don't get along with, because that's just, that would never be.
Yeah. Good. It's interesting that path, because like I did a first company venture back, sold it. Then I did marketing agency for 3 or 4 years, just jumping between Facebook ads, Google, SEO. And I had done cold email back in 2016, like for my ed tech company. And it worked to get like a ton of sales meetings, but we weren't doing any, you know what I'm saying? It was like a very basic automation, no Mailshake, Smartlead, whatever. And then I came across Discover.org, which was like a predecessor to ZoomInfo. It's like kind of a company that they acquired. And Mailshake, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, another SaaS, kind of like Lemlist and Smartlead, but it really just, I feel like people, the email, it connects directly to the lead gen and client acquisition. It sort of resonates with clients better. And I wasn't able to package stuff. Did you find that you were able to like package that more as like a monthly MRR type marketing service as opposed to Facebook ad management type thing? Is that why you went with it, or was it just because it's getting better results, whatever?
It was like getting results, but it was also really easy to sell. It's like you pay us per booked meeting.
Yeah. Oh, you were doing it per performance as opposed to.
Yeah.
How many of those, what was like the margins on, like how many of those were profitable engagements for you guys?
I think our overall margin was around 50. Obviously we had like the 80-20 where like 80% of our results were 20% of our clients. We had some clients that like just didn't have a good offer. Not all of them were profitable, but there were a couple of clients we had that we crushed it for and were collecting like 7K invoices a month. Other clients were like getting $200 from them a month because we had one call in the book. Nice. So it was like a big disparity, but it evened out to about 50% margin.
Were you doing all the lists and the sort of email setup for them as well? Were you covering that cost up front?
We would do a setup fee up front, but then ongoing it would just have to perform because we had...
Nice.
The expenses were on us, but that was also how ListKit was born, because we're building lead lists all the time for our clients, and it was a miserable experience trying to use Apollo and verify the list and do all this, and we're like, there's got to be a better way. So we literally invented ListKit, which is what you see.
So ListKit, I guess, for the audience that may not know, is like a competitor to Apollo, essentially, without the email function, right? So it's just the list. It's the list building plus the verification, if I'm correct. For now. So, running like a multi-million dollar cold email, I obviously thought a lot about like building out an Apollo. Like, you don't have to get into the particulars of how you built the list or how you built the database or anything, but can you talk a little bit about like how that process has been of like building a competitor? So the CEO of Apollo is like a guy that I know personally, so I know like they've raised money or they went through this whole kind of pathway. Obviously a lot of issues with the product, but like walk me through a little bit, like how difficult has it been like doing a SaaS company like that or something coming from the world?
It was like a 2-year overnight success because we launched the SaaS and it did really well, but we literally spent, so we launched it in 2021 as like a service where you would just pay us and we would go find the list on our own with a bunch of VAs. And the whole goal was to make it a self-serve. Yeah, the whole goal was to make it a self-serve SaaS. Yeah. So we made enough money from that initial service to turn it into a SaaS. We dumped like 50, 60 grand to a developer and he didn't do good. And the original platform didn't work. Scrapped all that. Scrapped like 6 to 12 months of work, a bunch of money. Started over. Discouraged at this point, obviously. But honestly, we got lucky once again because we met one of our students in our coaching program is a 45-year-old. He has a couple exits.
So he said a couple exes. He's a couple
exes. Exits and exes.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Probably both, right? Probably both divorces. He's funny. I guess that's an exit too, but it's like not a good exit.
Yeah, but no, we were fortunate to find somebody who actually knew how to find developers, move a project along, because we had no idea. We're marketers. We can't code. We don't know what to look for in a developer. So we brought him on as an equity partner. And he built out a whole developer team We spent 6 months making the products correctly, launched it. So it was like over 2 years from the time that the ListKit brand was born as a service until the SaaS went live.
Yeah.
Went live in July of 2023 with zero funding, all bootstrapped. And then we've grown it over the past, well, it's almost been a year, 9 months. There's been a lot of bugs along the way and we've rolled out a ton of new features, but it's been like a 3 year roadmap to go from idea to launch to where we're at now.
When you do like a spin-off brand like this, and obviously you're probably capitalizing on like your social media brand, the client ascension clients, you already have a preset audience for this. Are you guys doing it like as a completely separate corporate entity? Are you investing from other businesses? Are you guys, is the equity split different in the new business, or is it just like a brand tied to your main business with the Fazio and the other partners?
Yeah, so it's a separate entity, but it feeds into each other because when you join our coaching program, we get you signed up for ListKit, right? Sure. So it like all feeds into each other, but it's very separate. Like, we have the equity in the software is like split between all the other entities that we have. So it's honestly a little bit messy, but I think it's five co-founders, a lot of
back and forth,
intellect and manpower there. But I would rather have five co-founders with zero funding than two co-founders with a VC,
a like bunch of employees that are not really committed to it. Yeah. That makes sense. Yep. Cool. So do you see, is the typical client for that? Like, I just interviewed a guy who went through your program, Ryan Hildebrandt. He was a cool guy.
He's a character.
He's he's autistic super genius, right?
Oh yeah.
But, so is the typical client, like somebody who owns a business, like I have like a bunch of outbound agencies that I still co-own, like from employees of mine. We had enterprise deals with Apollo where we're paying them like $100,000, $150,000 a year for the data, maybe like 10,000 contacts a month per client. Clients paying us like $2,000 a month. Do you see like somebody coming in and like doing like a big list purchase, or is it like per send? You know what I'm saying? Are they coming in like per send or per user, whatever the credits is?
For now, we're really SMB focused, not by choice. That's just the type of people that we attract.
Sure.
Our LTV is $980. Somebody will sign on for an $80 a month plan. Or like the average monthly spend, I think, is $100, which we obviously want to get up. But just really relentlessly adding new features, because we've noticed that like a lot of enterprise guys want like CRM enrichment, APIs, like LinkedIn enrichment, like all this stuff. So a lot of our audience is SMB focused, like smaller agency guy. You know, that's who we're attracting right now. But we've been working on adding a lot of features that'll hopefully get those big dogs to like migrate from their ZoomInfo. Migrate from their massive Apollo plans. So it's been good so far, but obviously a lot of room to grow just because the people that are going to pay us $2,000 a month are still out there. So,
and you were hinting at this before, but obviously like I've talked to there's another company called MailForge, which is doing AI, like Clay, right? The AI sort of, that's like the next level of this like email lead gen space. Do you see, are you hinting at like developing a competitor to a Mailshake smart lead instantly within the platform? Kind of like Apollo has the ability to connect the emails, warm up.
Yeah, we've talked about adding an email sender, but it's an extremely hard
technology to do. Yeah.
We actually invested in a different sender like 2 years ago and it just shit the bed. So we're like skeptical, but we really just want to nail down the data side of things. And then we just want to keep adding features that make it harder for you to leave. Because right now it's...
You could just dip.
Data. Okay, I'm doing them out. So it's like want to add in new features constantly where it's, you can't cancel or else you're going to be have a hard time. Email sender down the road. I don't know. We might do it.
You have them there, right? So it's like...
Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps.
It's hard because...
Technology is so hard to develop. Yeah, with the email server.
No funding. We have no funding. We have 7 developers. So it's like... We don't talk to the developers. The CTO that I mentioned is like the meme where the guy's like standing over the
I know what you're saying.
Hit his back. Like, we give him all these things and he's do not talk to the developers. They will get, I don't know, I guess developers get stressed out easily or something.
They do. They're big pussies, bro. I have another company with 10 developers and they're not like us. They're not like us marketing.
So he shields. We basically throw everything at him and he just shields us and moves them along one by one.
You got to
keep
it separate, right?
Cool.
So obviously, dude, you do all these videos like reacting to cold emails, like improving the copywriting portion of an email. A lot of the early stage entrepreneurs in my program are doing outreach. They're doing DMs. They're doing email, cold call. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to get clients for their businesses. you've dealt with a lot of people through the training program that learn cold email. Do you feel like it's a natural born talent or something that can be trained?
I think being a good writer is natural.
Yeah.
Genetic. It's a little bit of both. Yeah. I think like you can, it's natural, but you can definitely get better. Like at this point, it's strange how like, how well I can just decipher what is good about an email and what's not. Yeah, I think it's mostly natural. Like I read a ton of books growing up. I think that's why I'm good at writing and reading. Yeah. I just read so many books. So I'm like a pretty, like I did pretty good on like the SATs and all that shit, like with writing. So I don't know.
What'd you get?
I'm a good writer. And I was, when it came time to do cold email, we were all like, what do we do? Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to do the writing. I'm just going to learn how to write. And back then there was like no cold email training at all on the market. Right. So it's, yeah, but you can definitely learn and get better. If you learn how to follow a basic template, it's hard to mess up.
Yeah. I just think, dude, like I hired so many employees over the last 5 years where you're going in, you're like, boom, whatever the industry is, you figure out the juice of the email real quick and write it.
Yeah.
But I feel like some of that is, it's natural. Like I'm same as you on that. But I agree with you. You definitely can get better. Cool.
Are you like a,
dude, I just did so many. I'm a creative type, dude. Yeah. I used to write screenplays and stuff. I wrote a screenplay for Ari Emanuel once, but I've done I've just done so many cold emails, just hustling and selling shit. That's what made me good at it. Was like, I just know how to get somebody on the phone, whatever the medium is. But I just find that teaching people, like, you have a very unique talent, dude, and I can just look at, like, when you're doing these reactions that most people don't think that way. And if you're hiring a bunch of hot chicks in Miami to work for you, they're not going to figure out the freaking cold email as good as Christian Bonner.
You can have the worst cold email in the world if you have a hot blonde.
If you got a hot blonde profile, it's gonna help you out mass. That's gonna increase the
overall, like, some 40-year-old sales manager who hasn't gotten laid in 2 years is, oh my god.
Or yeah, dude, I did a quantitative analysis, like Indian names. There's certain names that perform really bad, right? Even if it's the most fake best guy ever. So there are those things. But in any case, so I guess shifting gears a little bit, were you always doing, I never did social media or anything when I was building my business. Were you always focused on like content? Did you already have the content? Like I know you do a podcast and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of our clients came from Twitter early on, so I would tweet every single day.
Like a maniac.
Yeah, I was actually writing for my partner, Andre, for a while. I grew his Twitter to 20K, and then I took mine over and got it to 20. A lot of threads, giveaways, free value, giving out as much sauce as I could on cold email, because Twitter kind of stinks now with engagement, but back in the day, email threads were getting like 500 likes. We'd get like easy inbound leads, closes. We were like the cold email guys, so it's always been a big proponent of posting on social for sure.
How have you found like the YouTube and the podcasting stuff?
Yeah, YouTube is also huge. People will come to me to my consulting calls.
Through it.
Be like, oh, I saw your YouTube. I'm ready to go. They're very high intent. They know by the time they see my videos, they're like, I trust this guy. And then the podcast is for fun, but we have actually found people that enter our ecosystem from our podcast, funny enough.
Do you ever deal with, I have a AI company, the guy's partnering up with Liam Otley. He's like an AI automation kind of YouTube influencer guy, and we get a ton of leads just inbound off these YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Do you ever, and they're obviously like super hyped up on, you know what I'm saying? They're qualified. Do you ever have issues like sourcing who has the budget? Because obviously like when you're selling like an info product or something, you have people who are like, don't have the budget, or you know what I'm saying? Or they're like walking you around. How do you deal with qualification
The people that I talk to directly are the ones that buy my consulting, which is only like $250. So like they never have a budget issue.
Got it.
I hear from the sales team that we get closes for my YouTube videos, but I've never really heard about I've never heard about the disqualified people from my YouTube.
Yeah.
I only hear, yo, we closed a deal from your YouTube. Like, that's all I hear. I honestly don't know, but I'm sure it's out there because there's broke people everywhere. But
yeah.
I think YouTube is like, compared to Twitter at least, YouTube has a lot of like people that are heavy hitters.
Yeah.
They just find you. I don't know how. I guess Google search.
Now, dude, so I see you do these like TikToks, bro, where you complain about like the price of stuff and whatnot. And you're talking about like the bars in Tampa. My favorite bar in Tampa is Coyote Ugly.
Yeah.
The one, and you probably think that's a shithole. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I ain't going to know anymore.
So it's, so what are you using that as a kind of dating funnel? Do you have a VA hitting up the chicks that are?
Dude, it's crazy. Like the Instagram link in my bio, girls will just like follow me on Instagram from TikTok. So it's,
you get in the Instagram, high intent, rock from there.
High intent leads.
Yeah. But
because I'll hit them up and they'll be like, "Oh, I love your videos." So it's like,
that's an in right
easier
there.
Easier than
the yeah. You don't need to hit them cold. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a warm.
It's a warm lead. Okay. Nice. Cool. So what
I thought of a bit.
Yeah, hit me.
I thought of an idea last, like a fun business idea last night. I'm like, this would actually work. I want to be like the concierge, like Tampa mover, moving guide. So like, you join my school community for $19 a month, and you find like.
Yeah.
Best neighborhoods, apartments to apply for, car insurance, health insurance, license registration, where to go, where to get a gym membership,
oh, yeah.
What bars to go to. And it's just like a community where it's find a roommate, network.
Yeah.
Discounts to restaurants nearby. I'm like, dude, this would rip. Because everyone hits me up like, yo, I want to move to Tampa. I see your videos. So I'm like, what if I just made like a stupid school community for people wanting to move? So I'm like,
oh, dude, that could be big. Listen, you're hitting with the cold email, client ascension stuff. You're hitting the male market, dude. Now you got to tap in the female market, which they're more ready spenders, right? Like they're going to drop the cash pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting idea. I think that could be something big. So I guess, dude, tying everything together, like what are your objectives? Are you trying to hit certain objectives right now? What's your... Just for you personally, what's your long-term goal outside of the business?
Outside of the business, probably just grow my personal brand more, because if you have a massive YouTube, massive TikTok, Instagram, like you can just sell a program on how to move to Tampa.
Yeah.
Just keep growing my brand. I think it's pretty, like, I'll get recognized around town. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a normal fucking guy that makes TikTok. So it's like whenever I meet somebody, like I hate when I meet somebody I recognize and they're just a dick in person. So like when someone recognizes me, I just love
to them up.
Have that like conversation with them, say what's up, meet them. But yeah, man, just keep growing the personal brand, keep having fun. I honestly, a lot of people are like monk mode, grind.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's good to work hard, but if you're not going to enjoy your 20s, you're going to be 40 and be like, what the hell did I do? So it's a little bit of both.
You know? Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. Where can people find you, Christian? What's the best platform to, you do coaching one? I guess that's what you're talking about before, but you can coach people on the cold email business general.
Yeah. Best place to find me is Twitter at CB Writes Copy. I got links on there to all my stuff. And then my YouTube, if you type in Christian Bonnier, you'll find me there. The links to my coaching and my program and ListKit, the software, are all in my bios on both those platforms. But yeah, that's where I'm posting professionally, I guess you could say.
And you got the OnlyFans coming up too. You're telling me that before the podcast.
Exactly.
That's coming out. That's gonna be on the Twitter.
Yeah.
Nice.
Selling cold email videos on OnlyFans.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
that would actually be kind of fun.
Yeah, that's a good. I think that could be a good idea. I'm sure people would buy into that.
The use case of OnlyFans is good, but it just went down a very wrong path.
Yeah, dude. To say the least. Cool. Anyway, guys, this is the Wantrepreneur Podcast. We'll drop all Christian links in the YouTube and rock from there.
Are you ready?